And this is the fourth and last talk in our little series on how to share your faith. So a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we talked about what do you share in terms of the gospel? What are the important things to help people to grasp the fact that they need to have a relationship with Jesus? And the biggest thing that they need to deal with is sin. And then 2 weeks ago, Linda Duncan was talking about having a passion and having a zeal to see people come to know Jesus and how God's able to do that for us. Last week, Sam talked about the fear of man, and one of the biggest reasons why we don't feel that we have anything to say or don't know what to say is because we're actually listening to a whole bunch of lies that Satan feeds us to say things like, they're not going to listen to you. If they do listen to you, they're going to think you're crazy, all that kind of stuff. And today we want to talk about one of your more powerful weapons that you have, and that's your story. And in the scriptures, Sue, are you able to put me up on the screens? There we are. In the scriptures, Paul shares his personal story two different times, and it's very, very similar, both stories. And we're going to read that in just a moment from the Acts 22 version. But it's very interesting that depending on who Paul was talking about, he adapted his story for their need. And so that's one of the things we're going to do this morning. You are going to write a two-minute story of how God changed your life. Are you all right to do that? If you don't have a pen, you need to find a lady who has a big purse because there'll be five or six pens in that lady's purse. So if you don't have a pen with you this morning, look around, find a lady, and say, can I borrow one of them? They'll have highlighters. They'll have other things in there that you don't want. Don't take a look in the purse. That's not a good thing. But do grab a pen from someone. So before we read this, I'd like to tell you my story in 2 minutes of how I met God. If you have a stopwatch, start it now. It's interesting what happens to kids and some of the different things that happens in their lives. And one of the big things that I carried around as a kid, as a child, was I was afraid to die. And part of this was because my dad was a pastor, and back in the 60s and 70s, there was a lot of talk about Jesus coming back, and we used to watch these movies about things like Left Behind, those kind of things. And it was like I knew in my spirit, I knew that what the Bible said was right, and yet for some reason I was being stubborn, and I didn't want to do what I knew was right. I didn't want to begin a relationship with Jesus. And yet I knew that that was somehow right, and I would have these moments where things would happen, and I was going, oh no. I've missed it. Jesus has come back, and I'm left behind. And the epitome of that was coming home from school, because in my day, all the mothers were stay-home moms. Very, very few moms that had jobs. I'm 52 years of age, so I'm talking about the 60s. And my mom sometimes would not be home, and she's supposed to be home. I've got younger siblings that haven't gone to kindergarten yet. So where's mom? And I would panic, and I would go, oh, God, please, if it's not too late. Would you love me, and would you accept me, and could I become a follower of you? Is it too late? And then I'd see my mom pushing the stroller down the street, and it's like, oh. And I would say, okay, I didn't really mean that. And when I was 8 years of age, I remember going to a kid's Friday night program, and we had a guest speaker, and I don't know what it was. Well, I do know what it was. The Spirit of God actually got a hold of me, and it went from being an intellectual thing to being a heart thing. And I remember inviting Jesus into my life. I remember the amazing relief that came to me. I remember this weight that went off. Like, I'm an 8-year-old child. I don't know if you know it, but 8-year-old kids have issues as well. Maybe you don't point at your neighbor's kids. But I can just remember being free and knowing that I know that I know that I have a place with God in heaven. And I don't have those issues anymore. I've had a number of different times where weights have come and different kind of things have come, but I've never, ever, ever had a fear of dying. I get on airplanes and there's turbulence, I breeze through it. I'm ordering margaritas. No, not margaritas. What do they have in the beer? They have maybe a beer or something like that. But tomato juice. If you don't drink, I have tomato juice. And I've just never had those kind of fears when those kind of things happen, because I know that I know that when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. That's my story in 2 minutes. How did I do? Was I over time? Close? 2 minutes? So let's read Paul's story. This is, and if you time it, you'll find that this is 2 minutes as well. So Paul says this, "My dear brothers and fathers, listen carefully to what I have to say before you jump to conclusions about me." He's addressing a Jewish group of people who have just been rioting and trying to kill him. Now, I don't know why Paul would ask to be able to speak to the very people that have just tried to kill him, but he does. He takes advantage of every opportunity that comes his way. And so this is what he says. When they heard him speaking Hebrew, they grew even quieter. No one wanted to miss a word of this. He continued, "I am a good Jew, born in Tarsus in the province of Cilicia, but educated here in Jerusalem under the exacting eye of Rabbi Gamaliel, thoroughly instructed in our religious traditions, and I've always been passionately on God's side, just as you are right now. I went after anyone who connected with this way." Remember, Christians were not called Christians yet. That didn't happen until Antioch. Up until this time, if you're a follower of Jesus, you belong to the group called the Way, based on Jesus' words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." They've connected to the Way and went at them with hammer and tongs, ready to kill for God. I rounded up men and women, right and left, and had them thrown into prison. You can ask the chief priests or anyone in the high council to verify this. They all knew me well. Then I went off to our brothers in Damascus, armed with official documents authorizing me to hunt down the followers of Jesus there, arrest them, and bring them back to Jerusalem for sentencing. As I arrived on the outskirts of Damascus, now notice there's a transition taking place. He's been talking about his life before Jesus. Now he's beginning to talk about his encounter with Jesus. As I arrived on the outskirts of Damascus about noon, a blinding light blazed out of the skies, and I fell to the ground, dazed. I heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me? Who are you, Master?" I asked. And he said, "I am Jesus the Nazarene, the one you're hunting down." My companions saw the light, but they didn't hear the conversation. And then I said, "What do I do now, Master?" And he said, "Get to your feet and enter Damascus. There you'll be told everything that's been set out for you to do." And so we entered Damascus, but nothing like the entrance that I had planned. I was blind as a bat, and my companions had to lead me in by the hand. And that's when I met Ananias. Now we're switching into what happened after he gave his life to Jesus. That's when I met Ananias, a man with a sterling reputation in observing our laws. The Jewish community in Damascus is unanimous on that score. He came and he put his arm on my shoulder. "Look up," he said. I looked, and I found myself looking right into Jesus' eyes. Ananias' eyes, I could see again. Then he said, "The God of our ancestors has handpicked you to be briefed on this plan of action. You've actually seen the righteous innocent, Jesus, and heard him speak. You are to be a key witness to everyone you meet of what you've seen and heard. So what are you waiting for? Get up, get yourself baptized, scrub clean of those sins, and get personally acquainted with God." Well, it happened just as Ananias said. After I was back in Jerusalem and praying one day in the temple, lost in the presence of God, I saw him, saw the Lord or God's righteous innocent, and heard him say to me, "Hurry up, get out of here as quickly as you can. And none of the Jews here in Jerusalem are going to accept what you say about me." At first I objected. "Who has better credentials? They all know how obsessed I was with hunting out those who believed in you, beating them up in public places and throwing them in jail. And when your witness Stephen was murdered, I was right there holding the coats of the murderers and cheering them on. They see me totally converted. What better qualification could I have?" But he said, "Don't argue, go. I'm sending you on a long journey to outsider non-Jews." The people in the crowd had listened attentively up to this point, but now they broke loose, shouting out, "Kill him, he's an insect, stomp on him." And the second riot happens. Paul's telling this to the mob of people there, and he's using everything in his story to address his journey to help them come to the understanding of what happened in his life. When he meets later with government officials, he changes it slightly, but it's the very same story. And in the scriptures, the Bible is very clear that we have the opportunity. Sue, can you go to the next one? Thank you. The Bible says that your story is very, very powerful. The story that you have of what God has done in your life is actually able to overcome demonic strongholds. It's able to pierce through unbelief in people's lives. It's able to change people's perceptions. And there may be a whole bunch of people that are around you that don't know Jesus yet. We all have them, don't we? In our workplace, maybe in your family, your neighbors, maybe at the gym where you go to, or wherever you have hobbies and your kids' sports clubs and all that kind of stuff. And they're all around us, people who, as of now, do not have a validity of why they should have a relationship with Jesus. And their understanding, their upbringing, is that church is boring, it's irrelevant, religion sucks, all that different kind of stuff. And then you come along. And if you're walking a life of God's character and integrity, you stand out a little bit different. They maybe even think that you're weird. Yes? That you're different. And when something happens in their life and they come to you and say, you know, they just share something and say something, and all of a sudden they've given you an opportunity, I'm suggesting you've got 2 minutes. Most people will give you 2 minutes. And you got 2 minutes to tell people the difference in your life and how God has changed your life. And so that's what we're going to actually practice this morning. I'm going to have you write out your story in the very same way that Paul did it. So in the scriptures, we see that Paul had three parts to his little story. The first part was what his life was like before he met Jesus. And it's very clear that he's itemizing all the different things that made him a great Jew. Had the best education. He went to Gamaliel, who's a world-class leader at that time in terms of education. He did all the right things that a Jewish boy is supposed to do. And so they can't argue with that. And he begins to talk about his story, what it was like before he met Jesus. Then he switches to the second one, which is how he invited and how he connected with God. And so on your little piece of paper there is a second section where we're going to have you write some stuff down about how you connected with God. Did you say a prayer? Did you have a vision? Did you have a revelation? Did someone talk to you? Those are the kind of things. And you just quickly share about how you connected with Jesus. And then the third thing that Paul does is he talks about the change in his life. And in Paul's life, it was that he was instantly healed of blindness. And the scales that were on his eyes just were taken off. And so he is totally blind for 3 days. This man of God puts his hand on him, prays for him, his eyes are opened, and he begins to have encounters with God. And Paul talked about that, how he began to see God. God began to give him information about his destiny and spoke into his life. And he just shares honestly, openly, the different expressions that he's had with God. And at the end of that, you just listen. And you just say, what do you think? And here's an interesting thing, is nobody can argue against your story. Did you know that? They may not like your story. They may think you're crazy still. But they can't deny that you had that story, that that happened to you. There's a TV commercial on right now for one of the casinos. And there's this guy sitting down at the lunch table, and he's just bragging and boasting, and it's obvious that he's lying. And then one of the other guys gets up and says that he went to a casino for the weekend and there's a glory around him. Have you seen that one? Where he's just glowing and he walks by a vending machine and a pop drops down without money going in just because of the glory around this guy. And one of the guys gets up and he goes, I like him. And the other guy who's been lying all his way goes, yeah, I don't believe a word of that. Well, that's exactly it. You have one guy that doesn't believe it and another guy that goes, I like that. And you're going to find that when you share your story, that the Holy Spirit is able to take something that you hadn't even highlighted, a little throwaway phrase that you were thinking about, that you included. You may find that the most obscure little thing that you share is exactly what the Holy Spirit's going to highlight, put in bold, underline, large the font for that person. And they're going to walk away from that going, oh, what about that? What about that? And something begins to drop in their spirit. And so when you and I have opportunities to share what's going on in our lives, your story is probably the very first thing that you should do before you start preaching the gospel, before you start going at them, is to share your story and just be quiet and let the Holy Spirit begin to do stuff. Don't even push it. Let them respond. Let them ask the questions. How many of you like fishing? I actually don't like fishing. I like catching. The fishing part I find rather boring. The catching part is quite good. But I've been fishing many times with people that aren't followers of Jesus, and I've learned that my job is to cast the line out there with the bait. Hopefully it's nice and shiny and bright and wiggly and all those kind of things that they're going, ooh, look at that. And my job is to say something that gives a reaction. But when you go fishing, there's a whole bunch of times when you throw the line out and the fish don't bite. And so when I'm talking to someone in a public place, at a sports game, or wherever I meet people, and I say something and drop Jesus into the conversation, and if they don't bite, I don't push. Because if I push, now I'm giving the next follower of Jesus a bad start. I want them to, if they're not biting, I'm going to just drop it. The Holy Spirit's not on it, not my job. You understand that? But if they come back and say something like, what do you mean? Or how did that? Now we got a bite. Now, so we're now, and reeling them in. That's what it's all about. So your testimony is a toss the line and see who's biting. And if they don't bite, you leave it. But if they start to ask questions, you reel them in, and sometimes you reel them in quick, and sometimes you go slowly, let a little line out, draw them back in again, all that kind of stuff. Does that sound like I watch fishing shows? I don't. That's about the only sports I don't watch. So, here's what I'd like you to do. You have your piece of paper. How many of you have already started, like my wife? Saw her writing. We're going to give you 3 minutes. Start. 45 seconds on each area. So I'd like you to just write out in those three little categories. And I did put in the brackets, like, let's say that the major thing in your life was a dramatic healing. That's your story. Doesn't have to be how you met Jesus. If it's a dramatic addiction that you broke, or the Holy Spirit broke in you, you got off heroin, for example, or you were in massive bankruptcy, for example, that could be your story as well. What has God done in your life? So pick one of those things and just write out, what was your life like before you met Jesus? Go. And again, if you need a pen, find a lady who looks like a school teacher. Probably didn't think you'd have to work when you came to church today. Those of you at home, I'm sorry I don't have pieces of paper for you. But if you can grab something, say you even have your BlackBerry or your iPhone, and just go to the notes section and just write out quickly how your life was like before you met Jesus. What was one of the big needs in your life? What was one of the challenges in your life? And just write that out real quick. Okay, folks. You need to switch to number two now. Wrap up your last sentence on number one. Switch to the second part. How did you connect with God? How did you meet Jesus? Write that out. And I'd rather you write it than do bullets, because in a couple minutes, I'm going to have you read your story to one other person. And we don't want it to take 15 minutes, because we don't have 15 minutes. So switch to number two now. Just talking about the Olympics, I don't know if you've been watching some of the little personality profiles, but there's one of the Olympians in long track speed skating, a gal named Cindy Klassen, and her interview's been on many times. I think she's, am I right, Sam, that she won more gold medals than any Olympics for Canada at the last Olympics in Torino, won 5 Olympics. So they're profiling her, and she's a wonderful born-again follower of Jesus and just talks about that. Katrina Madone, who's been doing the play-by-play, analysis, that's the right word, the commentary, follower of Jesus, and she's dropped her Christian faith in a couple times. It's been very, very good, just on national television. People are sharing their story. They've learned how to do it. A whole bunch of sports athletes, if you're watching, again, I watch sports. I don't see decorating shows where they drop in their faith. Maybe they do, but I don't watch those shows. But on the sports things, by the way, switch to number three now. On sports shows, you'll see someone being interviewed, and they'll say, well, you know, God really helped me there. And they give the Holy Spirit, they talk about Jesus, they talk about their relationship with Jesus, just very subtly, very, very simply, and just let people know where they're at. And so people want to go fishing, they can go fishing. So you're working on number three, right? Good. How many of you have a blank page? Shouldn't have a blank page. How many of you have done School of Champions? Number two. This talk is actually in School of Champions number two. So if you've done this before, you probably have a head start. What difference has Jesus made in your life? Alrighty, everyone stand up, get in a group of two or three. Everybody, even if you didn't fill it in, because I know this, some of you probably, I don't know if I should do this. If you didn't fill it in, that's all right, because we need a listener. We need someone to listen. So here's what I'd like you to do. If you're in a group bigger than three, that's not good. Break it down to a group of four or whatever. Break it down to a group of two or three. And I'd like the tallest person in your group to go first and read it. Don't add to what you said, just read what you wrote on the piece of paper. Go. Tall person, go first. Once the first person's done, you can switch to the next one. Again, if you're in a group of four or five, your group's too big. You're not going to get done in time. If you're at home right now and no one else is with you, just say it out loud to yourself. Talk to the TV screen, the computer screen, and just say your story as well. It'd be good for you just to hear yourself saying it. Okay, switch to the second person as soon as you're done. And again, I'd prefer that you just read what you had. Just keep it nice and simple. If you're in a group of three, as soon as the second person's finished, switch over to them. We're going to give it two more minutes, and then we're going to have a wrap-up. How many of you are finished reading your story to the other person? How many need a little bit more time? Wave your hand if you need a little bit more time. Okay, 30 seconds. Only saw a couple hands. Okay, I need one guy to be nominated. Someone heard someone, a guy, read their story and it was amazing. Who would like to nominate a man to read their story to everybody? If you had a friend that read theirs and it was like, that's amazing. Who are you nominating? Okay, run up here. Send them up. There you go. And I need a lady to be nominated. If you heard a lady share her story and it was really good and she can say it. Okay, send your friend up. Good. You just got picked. Yeah, come on up, come on up. Come on. You're right there, yeah. Yes. Are you going to come? You're not going to come? All right, I need another lady then. Okay, folks, listen to this.
Okay. My name is Jason. Before I met Jesus, I was a hopeless drug pusher, drug addict for pretty much half of my life. I lived a very corrupt life involved in gangs and crime activity, and I really enjoyed that lifestyle. I thought that's what I was called to. But at one point in my life, God demonstrated to me his love for me, because the Word of God says that God disciplines the ones he loves. And at one point in my life, God, when I had renounced him and completely didn't believe in him, I was falsely accused for a crime I didn't commit. And because the police knew me as a gang member in my neighborhood, I was thrown in jail. And in that time, though, I started asking God to help me. And someone gave me a Bible, and I began to read. And I started asking for the truth in my life. And I asked Jesus into my heart. And then through that time, I had an encounter with God for like 40 days and nights. And when I was released, though, I wasn't completely ready to give my life to God completely. I was still young. And for 7 years, I backslid and went away. But then the day my daughter was born, I cried out to God again. I said, God, I need guidance from you. And I knew he was real. And I asked God, I need guidance. And I took a Bible. I just opened the scripture. And the verse God gave me was Acts 17. And in that scripture, it had my name, Jason. So I really felt God was speaking to me through his word. He did speak to me through his word. And from that day, since my daughter was born, God has completely restored my life. I'm transformed. I'm completely born again. I'm a new person. I have nothing but love in my heart for others. Nothing but love. It's completely the work of God. So, yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Jason is an amazing guy. He now works as a volunteer down at Followers Mission. He's one of the guys who works down there full time with folks that live on the streets and find themselves in difficult circumstances and that kind of stuff. Okay, I need a lady to be volunteered. Who's your friend? Okay, good. Come on up, lady in the purple. Good Spanish accent. Get ready, folks. This is cool, isn't it? How many of you knew Jason? Did you know some of you know Jason already? Okay.
Morning. My name is Patricia Saavedra. I was in a hopeless situation when I was very young of abuse at home. And I was in danger, and out of desperation, I was about to commit suicide. I was about to jump out of a window of a very high-rise house and a building. And as I was getting out of the window, something grabbed my shirt and pulled me inside. I had not been raised a Christian or Catholic or anything. My parents were not believers. And as I was pulled back inside, I cried out to God. And at the moment that I cried out to God, for some reason, without knowing what I was doing, I repented of my sins. And I cried and I said, God, if you're real, help me to get out of this home and give me somebody that really loves me, not like my parents, but that the love will be real. And I was only 15, and I met my husband 10 days after. And as I was seen by my husband, with my soon, you know, years, 4 years later, he became my husband. My stepfather, who was committing all the abuse, and my mother was going along with it, they totally stopped. The abuse stopped. And so now, after many years, God has healed me completely, restored me of the trauma. And I'm still married. I have 4 children. And I'm in ministry, and I do a lot of things for the Lord, and I love to bring people to the Lord.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you very much. Bless you. Wasn't that amazing? So if she's telling her story and someone in her friendship, in a relationship, talks about being a little discouraged and depressed and she shares their story, do you think they're going to have hope? If someone's struggling with addictions and tough times and Jason shares their story, do you think they're going to have hope? So now those are fairly dramatic stories. They're not like mine. I was 8, you know, hadn't yet killed anybody, none of those kind of things. It doesn't matter. If your story, you may think this is the blandest story that it can come. This is white bread with white sugar on top of it. This is bland. This is as bland as it gets. You know what? God's able to use everybody's story because God has the person that you're sharing your story. It's God that set you up to share your story with that person. You need to understand that. This isn't something that you're planning. This is something that God's planning. And all he's looking for you to do is open your mouth. And if you don't worry about what other people are going to think, you're going to find that God uses you many, many, many times. I have one more thing just to share with you. There could be folks in this room that don't yet have a story. Maybe you've had God encounters, but you're not at the place where you've actually given your life to Jesus. And I want to encourage you that when Jason talked about meeting God and God showing up and helping him, and when Patricia talked about, you know, being outside of a window, is that what you said? You're about to... and something pulled you back in. That's God. And the reason God did those things was because God cared about Jason and Patricia, and he cared about me when I was 8, and he cares about you. And he desires to deal with the primary thing in your life that is going to separate you from God forever, and that's called sin. Sin's not a nice word, but it's a real word. At the middle of the word sin is the letter I, and it's all about my stuff, the things that I've said, I've thought, my attitudes. It's about me falling short of the perfection, the perfect standard that God has. And Jesus is a gift from God for you and for me. There's no other faith leader in the history of the world that has ever said that they can deal with your sin. Buddha didn't know how to deal with sin. Muhammad doesn't know how to deal with sin. Only Jesus was able to deal with sin because the Bible says that he lived a perfect, sinless life. There was no sin in him. And it took someone who didn't have sin to be able to pay your penalty. I was talking to one of our young adults who was just at the encounter last weekend. And when they were talking about how Jesus died on the cross and he was closing his eyes and he was going, Jesus, Jesus, come down from the cross. I want to die for my own sins. And Jesus spoke to him and said, well, if you die for your sins, you're separated from me. Because someone has to pay. And your payment is to die and to be separated from me forever. And that's why Jesus had to die for you and for me, was to deal with our sin. And if you're here today and you haven't figured that out, maybe it didn't make sense to you in the past, I just want to encourage you that Jesus can be your Savior today. He can pull you out of that window. He can take you out of jail. He can do all different kind of things. And so, Father, let's just close our eyes. Father, we're asking that you'd become real even right now, that people begin to just sense you and sense your love for them. People that are in this room, maybe even watching on the internet right now, that don't have a relationship with you. And if that's you, and you're recognizing, you know what, I don't know that I know Jesus the way that I should. All it is a choice for you. It's a good choice to say the Bible teaches that Jesus died for me, rose again to prove that my penalty was paid for by him. And the fact that Jesus rose to eternal life shows that God forgave my sins and your sins. And all you need to do is just say, I choose that, I believe that, I receive that into my life. Spirit of God, would you come? Would you change us right now? We welcome you to come and cleanse each person that's here today of the sins that would separate them from God. Daddy, would you come? I'd like everyone just to stand real quick. If you're here this morning and you just agreed with me and you prayed with me to give your life to Jesus, that's a wonderful thing. And just like we've been praying for people in the past, we've had people stand up and things like that. We're not going to have you stand up because everyone's standing up. But I'm going to ask you just to come to the front, and we're going to pray for you up the front if that's okay. And if you're here and you're recognizing, I need to connect with Jesus, you just said that prayer to give your life to Jesus. You made up your own little prayer. I'd like you to come to the front. And if you brought a friend this morning, can you sort of lean over to your friend and say, did you say that prayer? I'll go to the front with you. If you're here this morning and you've given your life to Jesus, come right now. Don't wait. Just run right up to the front or walk quickly. Your choice. Are you here this morning? Gave your life to Jesus this morning? Where are you, folks? Don't be shy. This is a good deal. This is a very good deal. Where are you? Holy Spirit, there we are. Good. Are there others?